From UCB Comedy Studios, this is the UCB Digital Podcast. Hey, everybody. I'm your host, UCB Comedy Creative Director Nate Russell. Welcome to the show. This is episode number 16 of the UCB Digital Podcast. Thank you so much for listening. If you have listened to this podcast, thank you. But you also may have been a little bit confused about what you're getting on a day-to-day basis. We haven't been releasing regular content. We have been releasing content that has a variety of structures, different hosts at different times, different sound quality. We recorded one that sounded like it was in a barn.
Yeah.
No more. It's 2016. This is our first episode of 2016, and we're going to lay the groundwork for what is going to be a more structured podcast that you guys as listeners can hopefully have some expectations of what you're going to get on a week-to-week basis. So, number one, we're going to start releasing every 2 weeks. That's going to be our goal for 2016. New Year's resolution number one, releasing an episode every 2 weeks in 2016. That's our goal. And number two is that we want to give you a little bit more as a listener an expectation of what the fuck this podcast is. Because this podcast has evolved, you know. About a year ago, Todd Bieber and I talked about doing a podcast. That was when Todd was still at UCB Comedy. He was a creative director. And he was like, we're going to do some panel discussions with cool filmmakers. Let's record them and then let's release them as a podcast. Why not? And so we did that. And then we started to work in the podcast studio, and UCB started to make some podcasts. And Ben, our producer, has produced over 100 episodes in the last year of different podcasts. We're sort of throwing a lot of stuff against the wall, seeing what stuck. And this podcast is one of the things we felt good about. And so we started to have some in-studio conversations with people. Again, sort of all over the map of comedy filmmaking. And if anyone out there has noticed, we actually have formed a podcast network now, the UCB Comedy Podcast Network. You can find us on iTunes. You can find us on the Google Play Store. And we're making a concerted effort to put out regular content that all reflects UCB as a comedy institution and that sort of grows our community as a comedy community in a new way. Because UCB has always been a community institution. Right. This place started in New York City, you know, in the 90s, grew to L.A., expanded to a second community there. We grew a YouTube channel and that created a third community. We now have a Vimeo channel where we release regular content. That's another community. And our podcasting network is hopefully an extension of that comedy community. And the other thing UCB has always been is a great place to experiment and execute cutting-edge comedy. And that's what we want this place to be. And this podcast specifically has become focused on our production arm, UCB Comedy, and our community's approach to comedy filmmaking. So what this podcast is going to be starting right now, and maybe a couple episodes in the past too, is conversations with comedy filmmakers about their craft. So tuning in every 2 weeks, that's what you can expect from us. We're going to talk to those filmmakers specifically about the craft of comedy filmmaking in the digital age. So we don't care what the format is. Sketch, narrative, unscripted, scripted, short form, long form, new media, old media, doesn't matter. We're going to talk to people about making comedy films, and I call all of it comedy films. I call a Vine a comedy film. What is it like to make those things in a converging media landscape? In a landscape where this business is becoming less about platform and more about the quality of the work, right? How many people are we talking to in this room who say, I don't care where my work is released, so long as it's work that I'm proud of? And that's where this industry is going, right? And that's where comedy is going. So let's talk to people with a varied group of perspectives on that converging landscape and about their approach to their unique work. So you can still expect to hear writers, actors, directors. We're also going to talk to DPs, producers, editors, executives, sound recordists. I'd love to have a podcast about recording sound specifically for comedy. Is there anything unique about that? Maybe not. Maybe only two people would like that. Again, we're going to keep throwing stuff at the wall, but expect it to be about the subject of comedy filmmaking. So that's what to expect from the UCB Digital Podcast in 2016. And we're going to learn from each other. We're going to find new innovative ways to work both on comedy and on comedy films, and we're going to do it together. So if you like what you hear, please subscribe, give us a rating, give us a review. There are zero reviews for this podcast on the iTunes store right now. Please, let's end that review boycott that seems to be out there. Somebody, please review this podcast. Let us know what you think. We'd love to hear from you, connect with you, and ultimately to grow this community of comedians and filmmakers at UCB Comedy. And with that, let's get to today's episode. And today we talk to Veronica Osorio. Veronica is an actor, a writer, a content creator, and she just moved to Los Angeles from New York City just about 1 year ago. So this is almost the anniversary of her moving and basing herself out of Los Angeles. And for a lot of people in entertainment and in comedy, LA is a beacon. It sort of calls out to you, especially this time of year. We're recording this in January, and it is incredibly cold in New York City. So LA is warm, it's beautiful, and there is a ton of work, right? And that's why most people move out there, is that there's a lot of work to be had in that city. But the process of moving to LA and specifically relocating from a city like New York can be overwhelming. You're essentially going to the place where the industry is centered, and you sort of have to start your career, you know, over again in a way. Maybe not completely, but somewhat. And somebody like Veronica was very well established in New York before she had moved to LA, had some success. But what is that process like to move to Los Angeles, to start your life over again, to pick your career up and move forward with it in a new city? So we wanted to talk to Vero about that process and also about her talent holding deal with Fox. Right before she moved, she was in a position where she signed a 6-month agreement with Fox that was a holding deal for her as a performer. So what was that like? How does that deal actually get executed for an actor? What does that mean for her as a writer and as a content creator? And did that give her a leg up in her transition? So, you know, either way, there's going to be a lot of helpful information. It was a great conversation about what that process is like. So for any creative thinking of moving to Los Angeles, this is a conversation that is particularly applicable to you. And even if not, who knows? Maybe you'll move in the future. Ben, you thinking about moving out there? You think about it.
Oh, sure.
On a day like today, you think about it.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. Okay, so let's jump into it with our conversation with Veronica Osorio. So, Veronica, thank you for walking over to do this.
Yeah.
We tried to make it convenient for you.
Ridiculous.
So I feel like you moved to LA how long ago?
January 14th. So that's about 10 months.
Of this year.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I feel like I have still seen you quite a bit.
Yeah.
Because that's been about the time that I've been.
You keep coming here to work.
Yeah, I know. It's crazy. Are you feeling settled?
In living situation and all that, yes. Yeah. And like I have a routine, I have a life
There was a period of time where you were back in New York.
Yeah, I was there 6 weeks total, 2 different times.
Crazy.
3 weeks first and then like 10 days.
The best way to get a job in New York is to move to LA. I'm convinced.
I know. Yeah. I had stuff to do in New York.
Pretty crazy.
Which was, it was so delicious because I didn't have like a day job. Like mm-hmm. It's the first time I come back with like no day job and just do like work and visit.
Yeah. And hang out.
It was perfect.
Lovely. That's the way New York's supposed to be experienced.
Yeah.
Well, I guess, so for you, like you moved out here, in large part because you booked a holding deal, right? That was sort of what the impetus for like, let's move now.
Yes.
Was it a requirement of it?
No,
move?
No, no, no. The main thing that happened, if you want me to get into it.
Yeah, please.
Is I'll explain how the deal happened, but okay. The move part is because networks are here in New York mm-hmm. for the most part, but they all have like a VP of casting, which is the main casting person who is talking to the producers and like deciding with the network, the executives, whether a certain person is good for a part.
Mm-hmm.
So there are a lot of factors outside of acting that can affect who gets what.
Yeah.
Political, fame meters, I don't know, like social media and ethnicity, et cetera, et cetera. And then acting, of course. And usually the main people from each network are here in LA. So even though Fox has like some people in New York, and I've been to the Fox offices and auditioned from there,
mm-hmm.
ultimately they're going to send the tape to the people here and they're going to decide what they want from that tape. So I figure it would be better to just come to where sure. the main people are.
And the difference would be that if you're here, you're in the room.
I'm in the room.
As opposed to just a face on a tape from somewhere else.
From somewhere else. Yeah. And you need, it's like an extra step because then
sure.
the casting people from New York need to like know that it's good enough that they'll send it to their casting people here. Mm-hmm. And then they'll be like, okay, let's send it. So it's like, it's more steps.
Mm-hmm.
And then they don't get a read of you, your energy.
Yeah.
As much.
No, I can dig that. So that's like this sort of like driver, like in some motivation for the move. How about the deal itself? So the deal that you booked was sort of the end of last year.
The end right? of last year, yes.
And how did that come about for you?
It was a little whirlwind, actually. So I had just finished the Coen Brothers movie in the fall.
Mm-hmm.
So I spent like a lot of time. Actually, let me backtrack a little bit.
Yeah.
When I came here to LA for a week to audition to like do the chemistry read for the Coens.
Yes.
So that was like a Tuesday. And then 24 horrible hours later, they told me I booked it. I tried to forget about it, but it wouldn't happen.
Sure.
I was like, I'm just going to write my web series. And mm-hmm. then I was in front of my computer, depressed, just like staring blankly.
Yeah.
Like I just auditioned for the Coen Brothers and I don't think I booked it. So literally an hour before I went into a general meeting with Fox, I booked the movie. So I kind of walked into that meeting
feeling pretty
like
good.
I felt like the Monopoly
yeah.
guy,
uh-huh.
just like strolling in my avenues
yeah.
With my top hat. And we just hit it off. It was great chemistry and they just liked me a lot. And they felt
yeah.
like I was, you know, I had like a factor that was important, which is I just booked a movie. It's up and coming for them. It's like, I think, important.
Sure, that's a great sign. Like it's like that sort of thing where like validation begets validation, right?
Yeah,
it's
yeah.
like, oh, this you've got this, and that makes you
Hence.
Interesting to me too.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And they maybe it was the best day of my life, so that's when I had the meeting. So uh-huh. maybe try to get in that mindset if you're ever
great.
Gonna have a meeting.
Yeah.
So I was doing bits, you know, cracking jokes.
Mm-hmm.
To a point, I wasn't like the annoying actor. We just like hit it off.
Sure.
You know, you can kind of measure it.
A nice balance.
A balance. They're also like cool people. They were open to like that personality. And they're kind of, at least Brittany Roberts, which is the person I met at Fox.
Mm-hmm.
She's like, it's weird. She understands comedy so much. She's such a fan, which also helps.
Yeah.
But she just is on the other side of things.
Sure.
So it was great. She was a great person to meet. So we hit it off and nothing came out of it other than like, we're excited to like bring you in.
Sure.
If you move to LA,
yeah.
It would be great. You know, every time I got a meeting here, it was like, if you move to LA, it would be so great. And I'm like, yeah, I think it would be great.
I think that's a common experience, right?
Yeah. 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 Because then once they know you and they like you, they're like, just be here. Just be here.
Right.
If there's like one time, a one line thing and we just think of you. They sometimes just offer it.
It makes it easier.
Makes it
it's
easier.
Less expensive than
mm-hmm.
it would be. Yeah.
They wouldn't fly out someone yeah. for like a one line thing.
No, exactly.
But if they're already here, it's like, yeah, let's have them.
Sure.
If they trust you or whatever.
Yep.
And also you start building the relationship earlier, which will in the future, maybe you can bring an idea to them and be
yeah.
like, this is a pilot I have or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So that meeting happened and I came back to New York and I was like, I'm doing this movie. So while I was filming the movie later, I had a second meeting with them, which I thought was unusual. I guess I didn't know they were in the talks to like maybe offer me a deal.
Sure.
Timeline
wise, what's the time between these two things?
So this is like I booked the movie in like mid October or something
okay.
like that. And then my first dates of shooting were like mid November.
Okay.
So I had a full month of silently freaking out.
Mm-hmm.
And so by the time I returned to do the second part, they set up the second meeting,
mm-hmm.
which I was like, that's weird. But there's more explanation. There's the networks, like you flip channels and that's what you watch.
Yeah.
And that's, you know, the networks. And then there's each network has like a production side.
Sure.
So it's like 20th Century Fox is the production and then Fox is the network.
Mm-hmm.
So I met with 20th and also Fox. For example, if an ABC show, it may air on ABC, but maybe Fox, 20th Century Fox is the
production studio.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know this, but.
Yeah, that makes sense.
So I met with 20th and they were acting like, I want you to meet this person. I want you to meet this person. And it was a little like, okay, what's happening? And then at the end, Brittany was like, I'm trying to get them to offer you a deal. So like, look out.
That's great.
It was great. And then I shot whatever I had left in November, came back to New York. And then I was going to come back in December to keep shooting my other part of the movie.
Mm-hmm.
And while I was in New York, this is like, I feel very ridiculous saying this, but I had done the ABC Diversity Showcase.
Mm-hmm.
So ABC also was gearing up to offer me a deal, which...
That's
ensued
great.
A crazy amount of negotiations in which I was just in the middle. I was in the middle of it. And then my team was like, they were talking about it and negotiating and seeing like who was going to have the best offer. And they were trying to get me like to be free to do online stuff. So like Fox offer her to be free to do online stuff. Like, you guys offer that? And they're like, okay, let's do it. So they like negotiating the contract.
Sure.
Bidding war. It was hard. I was very stressed about it. I didn't want to get anyone angry.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if I did. But ultimately, Fox, the two deals like almost came the same, but Fox was like half a year and ABC was a full year,
mm-hmm.
which is less convenient because a full year would prevent me from auditioning for a bunch of other things that I did this year. I wouldn't have been able to do Adam Ruins Everything or a bunch of other like internet stuff or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So I decided to go with Fox and then it took so long for me to sign the deal and actually like get paid and like meet everyone. And I met like the president of Fox and like everyone. And it was very like, I need to be at my best behavior at all times.
Yeah. I think the execution, like that's all really interesting. And I think the execution of it is also something I want to talk about. I guess here's a question just to sort of like provide a little bit more context in terms of how you got there.
Yeah.
So you have a general meeting that leads to a second meeting that leads to sort of like eventual like deal.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a bidding war as part of that from a different like avenue of exposure. Mm-hmm. For you, how like what was the I guess like what was the impetus for the general meeting? How like was that something that was just something that your management had set up, or was there a reason that they wanted? I guess like how had anybody heard of you? What are the big important things for you before that built up to that point?
Oh God, I think my team usually, so basically you have managers and agents and they've all been in the industry, and just like UCB is a community, you all know each other, you've all worked in different places here and there and like jump from a series to another once you get like staff writer or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
It's the same with like managers and agents and like that level. They're all a community. Like, so if my manager maybe knows someone who... they're like, I know Brittany and I know she's going to like Veronica. It's like her kind of like person. Let's like get them to meet each other.
Yeah.
So she'll probably pitch like a couple of things that I'm doing to get her interested. And then most likely in the meeting, they'll bring it up to me. They'll be like, oh, I watched Gatescraft Corner. It was so interesting. And like, how did you come up with that? Blah, blah, blah. Or whatever random thing, you know? I think my managers have been really good at like picking what to pitch that I've done.
Yeah.
To different people according to like what they'll be interested in.
Sure.
So that's like the main thing. And I think the reason why they said general meetings is because that won't guarantee that you'll book something, but it's really hard to like get in a room and book something the first time you get in a room, because a casting director needs to know that you're consistent. And then once a casting director finds that you're really good and they want to send your tape, then they got to convince the network. They got to convince the producers.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they all need to know that you're like a consistent person. And those meetings help you in the future for when like a casting director sends a tape to the network. You've already had meetings with the network and they're like, we know this person.
Sure.
We've talked to them. They're not crazy. They can handle themselves like in a meeting situation.
Yeah.
They're fun. They're up and coming, blah, blah, blah.
So the deal that you sign, right? Let's talk about how that gets executed. That's not just a performance deal. They're looking for like idea creation, right? And like idea development from you.
There are two types of deals. Right. There's talent hold, which is what I got.
So it was a talent hold deal.
Talent hold, great. Yeah. So that's acting. Mm-hmm. They can use me or not. This time around, they didn't, which is also an option, and it wasn't like disappointing or anything.
Sure.
If anything, maybe this is my hippie Veronica in California now, I guess. But I do believe that you kind of get the projects that you were meant to do.
Sure.
I don't like stress about it anymore. Maybe when I was like very young and starting and like I wanted everything. But now if like I really wanted something and it didn't happen, it's more like maybe I dodged a bullet. Maybe I would have like been suffering for any reason. I don't know. It doesn't mean that the project was bad. Maybe it was just not a match.
Right.
So it didn't happen this like 6 months. And I'm kind of happy that it didn't. I feel a little free. I got to do a couple of the things that I wanted to. And so basically that's a talent hold deal.
So it was a deal that said that to book an acting job, it has to be through their mechanism.
Yes. So I can only audition for 20th Century Fox and Fox.
Great.
Some shows that I auditioned for were going to air in ABC, mm-hmm. like I said.
Right.
Because they were 20th.
But it'd be for either their network or their production studio.
Yes.
And so for you, like you sign that deal. How does it start to sort of like manifest? Like what did you have to do as part of the deal? Nothing actually came through in terms of like booking.
In terms of booking, no. But in terms of everything changed. Everything was great. I mean, it was such a huge experience because, let's see. Signed the deal or like before when I know that I already said yes and we're like negotiating like the final details on the contract. Excuse me. I'm already like auditioning for them. And instead of going through casting director, I get like straight to producers sessions.
Yeah.
So I enter a room with an audition and it's full of the producers, the head writer, executive producer, the casting directors, and sometimes like the star of the show reads with you.
Yeah.
So that was different. That was a different level. Definitely at first caught me off guard, especially since I was moving to LA and I literally did not know where my makeup was, the first like 3 days. I had to go to Target and buy a mirror before I had a bed, like a full size mirror. I had to buy like Christmas lights to put around the mirror. So like I had good light for doing my makeup and an iron board immediately. Before I even had shampoo. It was a little ridiculous. The first 2 weeks were really hard.
Yeah.
And on top of that, you have to be super sharp. You need to know if it's a multicam, if it's a single camera, if it's like drama, which I've been auditioning for as well. And if it's procedural, mm-hmm. I can totally speak. like the clothes and the way you carry yourself and the way you audition are entirely different. If you add to that every single producer is in the room and the writer. Sometimes I went in and having a deal, one of the things that happened was several times they were like, oh, you're the first time we're seeing this role being come alive.
The first person. Yeah.
So you were like, cool.
That could be good or bad.
It was horrible. I was like, it will never match what you thought.
Right.
You just wrote something.
Yeah.
Unless it's like a happenstance of the universe. Yeah. It all matches and it's beautiful. So I'd rather you see 10 other people and then me.
Right.
So that I can be my own.
So in a way, like that type of deal is kind of like the sort of like metaphor I'm thinking of is like in the airport when you sort of pay to, you cut the line, right? Like the fast
priority
track.
Yeah.
Where it's like you've got this holding of people. Mm-hmm. But that you're really like putting yourself in a position to sort of like get to the same checkpoint, but in a priority position.
Yes.
In a way.
Yes.
Pre-approved.
It doesn't mean that you're going to be great in the audition room. It doesn't mean that all the roles are made for you or that, I went to producer session for one show, Grandfathered, and I went in back and forth like 7 times because they were like, let's adjust the clothing. Let's adjust like her energy. Let's do a working session with a casting director. So that means they really like you. They're really trying to make it happen.
Yeah.
But then maybe the other character, they book a diverse person and they need to flip it around and it doesn't work.
Right.
So it's not.
There's a lot of factors.
There's a lot of factors.
Yeah.
But it did give me more of a window into what this world is.
Sure.
It's a business and it not everything depends on you.
Yeah.
And yeah, I skipped like two steps, which I miss sometimes because sometimes I'm like, I just want the casting director to be like, can you be a little more like chill about it? And then you're like, oh, okay, I'll just give you a different read.
Right.
Instead, you go straight to producers and you act and no one's going to be like, can you do chill? Or sometimes they do, but
right.
Rather
but they're a
little
more expected that you know already.
Yes.
Yeah.
So it was a little like swim now, mm-hmm. go. It's good. I've learned.
In a way, that also must have been a nice sort of like entry point for the trans of the move
uh-huh.
as well.
Yeah.
Because you're sort of like you're coming out here with something.
Yes, I'm coming out here with something. Although I still have to build my life over. Like
yeah.
I had to audition for Mod again and like I apply for digital and mm-hmm. I'm like making new friends and trying to making sure that everyone in the community gets to know me
right.
and be like, you have permission to laugh when I'm on stage.
Uh-huh.
I am also a friendly face, not just one more New Yorker who moved.
Right.
Yeah. So it's like, it's personally, it's like more of an impulse to move, but
mm-hmm.
still like your day to day is different. You're still like a person who just moved to a city.
Yeah.
Yeah.
With as far as like, because I think I definitely want to ask a little bit more about like what that transition's been like for you and sort of the comparative between the two experiences.
Yeah.
as far as like this deal goes, the other question I would have is like, you're not just an actress, right? You also are a writer and
mm-hmm.
a creator and have like a body of work that you've made yourself
yeah.
or like with groups of people like collaboratively. So I guess, was a deal like that inclusive of those type of creative endeavors as well? Or did it exclude that?
The beginning of the negotiations talked about it and it seemed like hard because like ABC was not going to do that. They just mm-hmm. wanted me as a talent and Fox was willing to, but the contract seemed complicated.
Yeah.
And then it wasn't the right time also for picking like new ideas. And so we later decided that it would be good to just like drop that part of the thing.
Yeah.
I didn't also have like, it all caught me off guard. Like I'm working, suddenly like book this movie, everything gets interrupted
mm-hmm.
in a good way. And then there's a deal and now moving to LA. So it was like a conversation and then they just, my team was, they're very good about being like, it's okay, by next fall, like we can like start pitching ideas. You can have like all the next 9 months to work on it. And I was like, okay, cool. I don't think I can do that kind of pressure at the same time as I'm doing all of this.
Yeah.
But yeah, I don't know. Those are kind of like deals that happen. You can have like a double like talent and then also creative
yeah.
deal. Like sometimes they just, for 6 months you can like pitch ideas and they might pick anything or they might not pick anything.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, no, it didn't include any of that. Although I did get to pitch around. Oh, that was another thing. Like just because it didn't include that in my deal, I was yeah. able to pitch to other people.
Yeah.
What I had.
Sure.
Which was nice. So yeah, it's not all like, oh, let's dive in. Let's just do it.
Mm-hmm.
You got to know like what you want to do with your creative self
yeah.
and then decide if a deal like that is convenient for you. I guess your team will guide you if you have a good team.
You have a team, yeah.
Yeah. If you don't, then yeah, you got to ask a lot of questions and really, really try to study what you want.
Yeah. It sounds like just because you've brought it up a few times, it sounds like you do have a good sort of like support network in that way or like a team of people that you
yes.
trust and rely on.
Yes. I have 3 Arts, which was very
mm-hmm.
lucky, I feel. And my manager, Olivia, she's sharp. She knows like the business very well.
Mm-hmm.
She'll give me advice. She'll guide me and then be like, no, it's not worth it. Or And then I'll still can be like, I still want to experience it. And she'll be like, okay. Yeah.
And she's based here?
No, she got moved to New York.
Oh, really?
Basically, as I was leaving.
Oh, so you switched places.
Mm-hmm, okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I want her to come back to LA. Yeah, she's great. And then when the movie happened, then I got my managers. So it took all the way until I booked this one thing.
Right.
Too good. Yep. Agents, I mean.
Yeah, validation. I guess validation.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, yeah.
Cool. Well, that's I think you have a really positive attitude about that whole thing. Sounds like it's something that was beneficial.
It was great.
To you overall?
Just the learning experience of how like it works behind the curtain was crazy. Mm-hmm. Now I know what to do. Doesn't mean that I book everything. I'm still like, you know, sometimes I go into auditions and I see girls who have been on television for so long, just auditioning for parts. And because sometimes I used to audition in rooms full of strangers, I didn't know that that was the case.
Yeah.
But since the deal, I got to audition next to those girls and I was like, oh, this is forever. We hustle for a long, long time.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter how much you book or sell or do. You still come into a producer session and like try along with 15 other people. So that was great. That was great to see because it didn't make me feel like, oh, no. It was more like
inspiring.
Oh, yeah. It's not bad at all that I'm still doing this. Or like I'm auditioning and auditioning and auditioning.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, I'm working. This is great.
I mean, you have to, like, at a certain point, and what it also sounds like is it also seems like your response to, like hearing no has also changed, too. It's like you have to sort of be built for what the mechanism is because mm-hmm. it's never going to change. And that's true on either side, too. Like, for the producers, it's like the jobs of the tasks of their job don't change. If you don't enjoy that process, boy, oh boy, just don't do it.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Right? Because there's other stuff you could do that might be more enjoyable to you.
Yeah, than getting rejection over and over.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've learned to understand it. I try to like take a moment if I feel like I failed at an audition or I got a no. I've tried in the last like 2 years to sit down and be like, why do I feel like I failed? What is it that I could do better?
Mm-hmm.
What could I change about this? Like, do I feel like I could learn my lines better, work harder, get a coach, whatever. And then just try to like give me an hour of doing that, of like simmering in my own regrets or whatever, and then move on. Yeah. It's hard. But also
sounds healthy. You can sort of like compartmentalize.
Yeah.
Move on.
Yeah.
Another opportunity is coming.
Yeah. But it's hard to do.
In the moment, yeah, I'm sure.
Yeah.
Hell yeah.
But we do.
Yeah. So I think that like another big reason why I thought this would be fun conversation is because in the community that we both live in,
mm-hmm.
there is often the experience of somebody who comes up in New York and moves to LA.
Mm-hmm.
It's a common experience.
All the time.
Point, right?
I don't know who lives here and who's in New York.
I know.
Every time they visit, I'm like, oh my God.
Do you live here now?
Yeah. Yeah.
And I think it's, you know, it's definitely... I think I know maybe one person who's done the opposite.
To New York. Michael?
From LA. Michael?
Hartney?
Did Hartney do that?
Well, he was here for like a year and a half or something.
Do you know Rachel Roderman? She's a producer. She's a producer for Brinkman, but she was like a College Humor producer for a long time. And she was here for a long time and moved to New York.
Well, no. Maybe if you show me a picture, I am terrible at names. Well, that's...
But the path that you've taken is one that I think a lot of people either have experienced or consider doing.
Yeah.
Right.
Other New York colonizers.
Yeah. And I guess like what I'd be interested in sort of like hearing you talk about a little bit is like how has that experience been for you on a couple of fronts? So
mm-hmm.
as an actor,
mm-hmm.
what's the sort of like difference that you're seeing between those two worlds? Right.
Mm-hmm.
And what is the sort of like landscape that you find yourself in right now?
So I guess as an actor, one of the main things that I was shocked to see was the way the girls look at auditions.
Yeah.
It's like so much better here. They look so hot. Everyone is like really, really doing it.
Yeah.
I was very surprised at first. And now I'm like, all right, here we go with this makeup session before I go into a fucking audition. Like, I gotta do it. And so that was shocking to me.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe guys won't find that. I think the level of attractiveness in general, it sounds so crazy, but I was really shocked for the first 3 months. I was like, I can't believe it.
Yeah.
All the girls with heels, super like, you know, it doesn't matter because most of them might not book it, but it's still like the general look creates an expectation.
Right.
So that helped me a little bit understand my type. In New York, you could see it, but you audition three times as much here. So you start seeing like who you're in the room with, like what kind of stuff did I guess what this was? Like, am I being the quirky girl here?
Yeah,
I'm surrounded by all quirky girls of different ethnicities. Or sometimes I'm surrounded by hot Latinas and I'm like, okay, yep, this is what it was.
Right.
So that's been a major one. Another one is I practice in my car, which has been great.
Yeah.
And then
you didn't used to practice on the subway?
I was immune to like anyone looking at me talking to myself, running lines in New York. And yeah, but it took me years. I used to like whisper it like very slow.
Yeah.
And by the end of it, I was like just saying it out loud in the subway. I became like a New Yorker.
Yeah.
Total. I don't care.
Yeah. And now you have that nice private cube.
It's a cube for me to sing and do whatever I want. So that's nice.
Mm-hmm.
Finding where you're going to audition here is so hard.
Actually finding the physical location.
The physical location. If it's a lot, you walk so much. They park you in a place and you need to walk to the other place.
Yeah.
Finding the room. I think the dynamics here are just a little different. You need to like read people quickly. Like, will they shake hands? Will they not? And then you have to remember names. Everyone's like very, very business
oriented.
Yes.
Yeah.
As an actor.
Sure.
Which is crazy. So I took like audition for camera classes and, you know, I started over being like, okay, let's assume I don't know anything about this. I'm coming from a different town, different rules. And yep, it's different. So I think if you're thinking of moving and you're an actor, keep an open mind, try to take classes and absorb what you're seeing because it's the way this town moves. It's different.
How important do you feel like it was? Like, and given like you sort of moved with the deal too, but I also think that like sometimes for people moving, as actors, it's also like if they don't have that team, and maybe you can't speak to that, but I guess how important was that for you to already have that in place moving here and feeling empowered to move here and sort of like ramp up?
I think huge because, well, I'm lucky in two fronts. One is like I have a team and two, I have UCB and the community of comedy. Even if you're not a UCB person, like there's a big network of comedians who are all doing their thing. I feel like New York is where I think it's easier to do that.
Yeah.
To be around people, creating, hustling. And I think coming out here, if you don't have a team, you have to be willing to do as much as you would if you were in New York hustling. Mm-hmm. And it's hard. It's like you don't just run into people. You have to like be very, very active about your life here. In New York, I feel like kind of happens a little more. It's a little more organic. Here you have to reach out and see if you can do this thing. Even though it's so much easier to shoot a video, I feel like it's so much harder to be like, okay, let's do it. Like the city is just slower.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if I'm answering your question the right way, but I think if you're going to move here and you don't have any of those things, you have to be really willing to
hustle.
And it's easy to forget it here. Even with a team, you have to hustle. You have to like be writing.
Right.
It's easy to forget if the sun is beautiful outside and you have nothing to do.
Right.
You're like, I'm just going to chill.
Yeah.
Yeah.
As a content creator, how have you found those differences? You're pitching more here, I would assume.
Also, I think it's a little, to me, I get all my ideas and my inspiration from watching people and like being in situations. And I'm not so cramped into situations with people since I'm in my car. Sometimes it's like, car audition, car house,
mm-hmm.
or and then car show.
Right.
It's a little harder for me to find inspiration, which I would, if you get inspired by people and energy and stuff, just stay in New York. It'll be fine.
Yeah.
Especially if you're a writer, you can just send scripts or pitches. It's great. Come twice a year.
Right.
Check in, get the meetings, go. Yeah. So that's been a little harder. But then at the same time, the second I decide to do a short film and I put it together, it all comes together because we put the equipment in the car. I'll just go with my car on a weekday and pick it up and
right.
rent it for the, it's cheaper because there's so many places to rent it from. I have a car, any, everyone's free kind of, it seems like no one works. So yeah. everyone's like, yeah, I'll PA, I'll help you. I'll do this or that. It's easier to just get things produced.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I guess the third component is what you touched on before, which is like sort of like community, right?
Mm-hmm.
So how was it sort of navigating, you know, becoming a more active part, or becoming an active part of the LA UCB community? How was that process for you?
It's been a little hard. It's like restarting.
Sure.
I mean, no one knows who you are.
It is restarting.
It is completely restarting. Yeah. There's a very tight community here. Yeah. I think a lot of New Yorkers come on a daily basis and they try to just be like, oh, I was UCB there. Let me just like get in here.
Yeah.
But here there are people who have been around for 2 years, 3 years, 4 years, and they've auditioned and they're trying and they have, there's no lines, you know, there's no lines. Let's just say that.
No direct path.
No direct path.
Yeah.
But a lot of people do feel like they're in line and they're waiting and you can't just ignore that.
Yeah.
I think you have to be a little humble and like enter the community by being like, hi, I'm going to introduce myself to everyone. I'm going to try to be social. I'm going to try to come see people's shows and get to know the names of the well-established people here and find my new crew and not be such a New Yorker, but also be like, I'm entering UCB again from the bottom. Even if, you know, you get on a team or you get your shows up because you've already have the training or whatever.
But I mean, that's also good practice in any sort of community, right? To sort of like not come in sort of like all guns blazing, like it's all about me, but it's like there is an element of like, coming in a way that like is about fostering new relationships.
Yeah.
Any new job is like that. It's like you walk in, you sort of like try to keep an open, you know, keep an open mind and be an open person and be a good citizen, I guess.
Yeah, right? Good, upright.
A good upright citizen. Okay, I didn't even mean to do that.
Yeah, I think that's the main thing. Be really supportive.
Yeah.
In LA, like, the actors are amazing. Every time I'm like, whoa. And then I try to geek out about someone and they're like, yeah, we know. We've known for years.
That also must be exciting, though, to sort of go through the process of, like, discovering a whole new incredible talent pool.
It's so great. I've been so excited.
Yeah.
Every time I see someone new, I'm like, oh, and they've been here all this time?
Yeah. That's
like, amazing. And we didn't know?
Yeah.
So that part is really fun. But it's also like, hi, I'm here. I like do characters in front of a crowd that they're all laughing at each other because you know how it is. Like we all laugh at our friends when they're on stage doing something goofy.
Yeah.
And then the second there's a stranger, you're like,
a little bit more like, oh, what's up? Yeah.
Yeah, who are you? Maybe I won't laugh as much. So I've had a little bit of that. And it makes sense, you know?
Yeah.
But the more shows you do, the more people know you and the more solid work you do, you know? Doesn't mean that I'm always doing that, but it's like the theory, I think, works.
Yeah. That's really great. And are you, here's one thing I want to know. Are you going to do more Kate's Craft Corner? Come on.
That's like the question.
You gonna do some more of it?
That's That's
the question.
I've thought about it. I am working on an idea for like a 30-minute thing with her.
Great.
I love Kate. It's my favorite thing to
She's
do.
Great.
She's the best.
Yeah.
The best weirdo.
So much fun.
I only have weirdos, but she's the best one. maybe. We'll see.
Well, you seem happy. You always seemed happy, honestly.
I always seem happy. It's hard. I'm not going to say it's not.
Sure.
It's hard.
It's hard.
I like New York. I like the people energy. People watcher.
I can dig it.
But I'm happy.
It sounds like you've got a lot of good things going on.
It's happening.
I'm happy for you.
Thank you.
We definitely like miss you, but we also see each other very often. So.
Yeah. Not you specifically, maybe.
Yeah, the global we.
The global we, yeah. But I appreciate it.
Us, we're good.
You're the messenger.
Yeah, I'll see you next week. Okay?
But, every 2 weeks when you come here to work, 24 hours.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, thanks for doing this. Appreciate it.
Thank you for having me. It was so great.
That will do it for episode number 16 of the UCB Digital Podcast. Thanks to Veronica Osorio for taking the time to talk. I know I learned a lot about what that process of relocating is like. I hope you did too. Thank you for listening. Again, please subscribe. Give us a review on iTunes. And if you want, if you have any questions, you want your question read on air, email us podcasts, plural, at ucbcomedy.com. As always, find new videos online almost every weekday at YouTube and Vimeo/UCB Comedy. Connect with us on Twitter, Instagram, Vine, Periscope, the whole thing at UCB Comedy. And until next time, we'll see you on the internet.